accession number 22372, reel 2.
Stan Cox, reel 2.
Anyway, when the tapes came off, the lead tank with Lieutenant Howden on, he had a mechanical breakdown of some kind. I don't think it was hit, but it was disabled, and Lieutenant Howden left that tank and came and took over our tank. Sergeant Rush, who was my tank commander, he was put back on the other tank. Anyhow, from there, we went up the beach, and we could see in the distance, there was the hills in the distance, and we could see the columns of tanks and that were going up this hill. So the Lieutenant Howden, he said, well, that's where we should be, at the top there. We had to push on as quick as we could and join the rest of the lads, you know, the rest of the regiment, which we did in the end. And eventually we arrived on the outskirts of Bayeux. That was in the evening then. But otherwise, there was not a lot of action, you know. There was one or two snipers about and that sort of thing, but we didn't really meet a lot of opposition.
So was it easier than you had expected?
It was easier than what I thought, yes. Actually, I did fire the 75 once, but that was a bit of a joke, that was.
What happened?
Well, what happened was that we had a report, you know, the squadron leader was saying, you know, look out for snipers in the trees. And he advised us, you know, he says, if you see any likely places where a sniper could hide, give it a good burst of machine gun fire. So anyhow, we were going along, and there was this tree and these trees, and Lieutenant Howden said, oh, he says, could be some snipers up there, he said. He says, give it a spray with the old machine guns. So of course I put the sights on it, press the old button for the machine gun, but I hit the wrong button. I hit the the 75, and it was funny because Mr. Howden, he was inclined to stutter quite a bit, you know, and I always remember him saying, he says, bugger Cox, he said, that was a bit drastic, he said, you know. Yeah, but anyhow, there's no one there, so it was that from there on, you know, we just sort of pushed on and that. There was one or two farms and that which we put a bit of lead into. But other than that, we arrived on the just outside Bayeux that evening. And I believe our squadron had wanted to go in that night, which was actually our target, but the Essex, they said they'd had enough, you know, for one day, and they held back, and they said, you know, it's a bit too dangerous to go in at night for street fighting and that sort of thing. But so next morning we went in next morning.
What was it like?
Very quiet. I was air troop of tanks went through on a recce about 4 o'clock in the morning at first light, and we went in there. I can remember going past the cathedral and went out. Of course, it was all different now. There was no sort of ring road and that sort of thing. And we went through, and I think we were on the Carn Sherbrooke Road. And we went along there, and there was still no opposition. But as we sort of went along, there was a Dutch barn about 200 or 300 yards ahead, and there was this German lorry. This lorry was there, so we sort of approached it very cautiously, but it had been abandoned, and there was a wireless lorry, so we got that and we towed it back into Bayeux.
Was there anything of use in it?
Well, there was a wireless transmitter and that sort of thing, but other than that, I don't know if they got anything. We got the their haversacks were on there still. They left their haversacks on there, which was actually tins of food and that in there, which were quite good. Paddy Foyer and that sort of thing.
So they hadn't smashed anything up?
No. Well, I don't think so. And yeah, as I say, I mean, we didn't sort of test it there, but I expect they did when we got back.
And then what?
Well, then we went back to the regiment, and sort of the rest of the regiment that had formed up outside Bayeux, reported back to them, and then the rest of the day, I think they went into Bayeux and sort of consolidated the position there. And then that evening, we all formed up again, and we were off again. I think we went up towards Tully that way, but I can't really say that was the way it was, but I think it was Tully. And we were up on the hills there, hill 103 I think it was we were on, but we stopped the night, and I know commanding officer said that, well, the squadron leader said, you know, everyone's got to be on alert because we're out in no man's land, sort of thing. And he said they were expecting the 21st pounders, I think, were coming in from farther down south, and they expected them to come in the night. Well, I was put on guard, and I remember good on guard with just a Sten gun and that, and I was with another lad about my own age, and I said, where are you going then? And we didn't be able to dig a slit trench or anything. I said, I'm getting in that hedge. It was one of the funny occasions. He said, I was a big bramble there, so I sort of got right in there as far as I could, and waited, and we were told that the Cheshires were coming up during the night. They were heavy machine gun. They said they're coming up to take over from us. From us, who were on guard and that. Anyhow, about 12 o'clock at night, I heard this noise, you know, this sort of whispering and creeping and that. And I challenged them, and I said, yeah, the usual thing. And he said, oh, friend, he said, you know, he says, it's the Cheshires. And I said, well, advance and be recognised. And this officer, he said, what do you think, I'm a bloody ferret? He said, I'm not coming in there after you, he said. But after that, you know, it seemed strange. We were there with sort of machine gun and our revolvers, and they come there, they got a great big machine gun, a Vickers machine gun and that, and they took over from us. And that was it till the morning. Went back and got a bit of sleep, and
So there'd been very little action so far?
Well, not a lot of action, no, not really. But then next morning we were under cover then, you know. Next morning we had to break cover, and as I said, I think it was Hill 103. Well, it was Hill 103. And I think it was D3 or D... Yeah, D3, I think. D plus 3. As we come out of cover, the driver, he said, I think we've been hit, he said, you know. So Mr. Aiden, he said, well, what's the trouble? He said, oh, he said, we're getting all smoke coming into the driving compartment. He said, we've been hit in the differential at the front, the gearbox. And he said, he said, is it serious? He said, well, there's sparks flying everywhere. He said, well, we better get out. So anyhow, they got out, the driver and the co-driver got out, and I did the usual and let the officer, he was out, and the operator, and I was the last one out. And as I got out, I can remember I sort of got out of the turret, and I'd still got the earphones on, and I went to jump, and it pulled me back, the earphones. Anyhow, I sort of got them and slung them away, and as I jumped, I think we got hit again. Because the next thing I can remember is I was laying by the back bogey wheel, or the idler wheel. I was laying there, and I knew I'd been hit. And he must have hit us again on the track, because as I lay there, I can still visualise this track that had been broken in half, and it was rolling back. The track was coming back off of the idler wheel, because that was like a free wheel, the idler wheel, and it was coming back, and I thought, oh God, it's going to run me over, you know. But anyhow, it got sort of, I suppose the weight of the stopped it, and I led there. I led there for about half an hour, and then the lads, they come and took me back into the about 50 yards away from the tank. And the next thing I led there, and I can remember the old tank brewing up and that, and all flames gushing out, you know, and that sort of thing. But we were all right where we were. We were in the ditch just away. And then, like, I can't remember much more about it after that. I can remember the being put on a jeep. One of these ambulance jeeps had about three or four stretchers on it. I can remember being put on that. And then after that, I was back on the beach in Field Hospital, I suppose.
What do you think had hit the tank?
Well, I don't think it was nothing. It wasn't heavy. It wasn't an 88 or anything, but it was probably a 37 millimeter or something like that. You know, something.
So, what date was it?
Pardon?
What date was it?
What
date?
Date. That was on the, I think, D plus three. I think it was. I've always been a bit unsure about that. I seem to have lost a day somehow, you know.
What time of day was it?
That was early in the morning. It was quite early. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning, I suppose, that was.
Was it a wooded area?
Well, yes, it was. There was woods and then fields and that. Mind you, in the night, I'd reported this, that in the night before the Cheshires came to take over from us, we'd heard them moving about down in the, well, it's been Tilly itself, I suppose. We'd heard the sound like gun tractors or something, or it wasn't tanks, it wasn't heavy enough for tanks, but we could hear these gun tractors moving in, sort of thing. So we more or less knew that they were down there then.
What wounds did you have?
Well, I was wounded in the arm.
So your left arm?
Left arm. Just here, which left me arm like that. I was twice in the leg, which broke the what's the small one? Fibula, isn't it? Broke the fibula, and then one here, and one on the backside, which I didn't know anything about until about a week afterwards.
Were you in much pain?
Not really. No. I think, you know, it was. I think you sort of go into shock, I suppose, and you don't know much about it. No, I wasn't really in pain at all, you know.
So you were on the beach waiting to be taken away?
Yeah, they took us down to the beach, and there was quite a long tent, you know, quite a lot of wounded in there. And then they told us that at night we'd be transferred to the hospital ship. The tank landing ships, you know, the sort of big ones, they said they couldn't come in until night time, but I think they were equipped to bring stuff in, and then they were equipped to take stretchers back at night. And then at night time we got put on this tank landing ship, and we returned back to, I'm not sure it was Portsmouth or Southampton. I never found out. Came back there, but as I say, I was sort of here and there all the time, sort of thing. You know, I can't remember a lot about it. But I can remember being put on the hospital train by the docks. And then from there we went to Epsom. I was taken to Epsom, and that was more or less a casualty clearing place. We all went there. Well, I was sent there, and wounds were treated, and next thing I knew we were back on the train again. This is after about a couple of days, I suppose. And from there we went to another hospital on the way up, but where it was I don't know. But we eventually landed up at Newcastle, and I was taken to the Ministry of Pensions Hospital up there at Gateshead.
Were you satisfied with the way in which you were handled once you got back to England?
Oh, yeah, yes, you know, like...
What kind of treatment did you get? You were in a hospital at Gateshead, were you?
What?
In a hospital at Gateshead.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, marvellous, actually. It was... Actually, there were still some of the old pensioners there from the First War. But we were separate, more or less separate buildings to them. But, yeah, oh yes, there was, I suppose it was, I think it was four wards. There must have been about 80 of us there, I suppose. Mostly, actually, I was one of the better off there. It was the lads with legs off up to the... up to the thighs and that sort of thing, you know. One bloke there, I remember one bloke there, he had both legs off, one arm off, and his other arm, he just had a finger and a thumb left. I mean, there was all kinds there. There was naval people there, and naval and airborne commandos.
Were you operated on?
Oh yeah, I had quite a few operations there, yes.
To do what?
Pardon?
What did they do in the operations?
Well, I think when you used to have your... Sometimes when you had your wound dress, you used to sort of go to the theatre and that, but this arm, that was the chief concern, I think. The nerves had been cut, and they tried to join them, but it was never very successful. And I had three or four operations on that.
But you got the use of the arm back?
No, well, I got the arm. The arm's all right. I just can't use the fingers and that. But that's the only grace I had about... not the hospital itself. I mean, when I left in March the following year, when I left the hospital, the surgeon there, he said to me, he said, well, we've done all we can for you. He said, I'm arranging for your discharge from the army. He said, and we'll send you home. He said, would you like to go? I said, well, of course I would, you know. And he said, well, the only thing is we've got to fix up. I'm used to get treatment nearly every day, I suppose. Electrical treatment that, on this arm and that. And they had it working, you know. They had the fingers and all working quite well and that. And he said, the only thing, he says, we'll have to... he said, where's your nearest hospital? I said, well, Oxford is the nearest hospital, I said, but we've got a small hospital near us. I said, I don't know if they do physiotherapy and that. And he said, oh, we'll find out. So anyhow, they found out, and it appeared that the Dickett Hospital, which is only sort of a cottage hospital, but they had a woman come there twice a week, I think it was. Used to treat people for arthritis and that sort of thing, you know, but she'd had no experience for this sort of thing. But anyhow, he said, well, we've arranged that, you know, for you to get treatment. As soon as you get home, go and report to the hospital, and they'll arrange treatment for you. Well, of course, when I got home, I went out there, and they said, well, we don't know anything about this, we haven't heard anything about this. So she says, can you come back again, you know, sort of thing. So I went there quite a few times. It was about 2 months before I got any treatment. And I wouldn't have got that, I don't think, but my uncle, he was in the last war, he was a big British Legion man. He got hold of it and chased them all up, but I got treatment. But of course, time that had happened, the hand had gone back like that again. It was sort of clenched, fist, and they couldn't seem to do any good there. So I just more or less, I did have another operation. I went to London, didn't I? Was it Portland Street? Great Portland Street. And they give me a bone graft along there, which sort of put them out.
On the fingers.
On the fingers, but in the end, it all pulled back again, so.
But the electrical treatment in Gateshead had been working.
It was working, yes. I wouldn't say it was 100%, you know, but it was better than what it is.
And so then you came out, you'd come out of the army by then?
I came out of the army then, yes. Yeah, I was discharged.
Did they give you a pension?
Oh yes, yes, I got 80% pension to start with. I get 100% now, but...
How do you feel now about having served with the Sherwood Rangers in the war?
Oh, I thought they were a good bunch of lads, you know, I really enjoyed it. They were more like a family. You know, everyone sort of looked after one another, and I think, you know, myself, I think they were a fine regiment, fighting and that sort of thing, but only regret I have, I didn't go farther, you know. I should, when I hear these lads, I feel a little bit out of it when I, like Ken Ewing and those people talking, you know, it's... But then, on the other hand, I mean, if I'd have gone on, I could be over there now, sort of thing.